Until 2005, southern Sudan was mostly in the news for horror stories of suffering and oppression as the conflict between southern rebel groups and the Khartoum government in the north dragged on for over half a century, the continent's longest-running civil war. Following the signing of the 2005 peace treaty and the promise of a referendum for independence in 2011, the region is now largely at peace. Yet the long, arduous process of rebuilding shattered lives and communities has only just begun, with levels of illiteracy, maternal mortality and unemployment remaining at record highs.
The majority is without any profession and without any job, and so the problem of drinking, of alcoholism, and in drinking the violence is rising.
German Holy Spirit missionary Sister Petra Bigger has just returned from 3 years working with the Jesuit Refugee Service in the city of Yei, close to both the Ugandan and Congolese borders. She told me more about her work training catechists and working with women who've come up with some innovative ideas to support their families and the wider community.
We were giving training to the catechists after, let's say nearly a period of 50 years after war, to train them with catechetical material. And then I was helping to bring some women groups up. We were doing some income generating projects in making bread, soap. And then later one group was saying, do you not have something for our beauty? I said, what do you mean about beauty? We want to know how to make cream. So we were doing Vaseline. So it was as well very nice for them to smear with their hair. So it was a very nice experience. After Sunday Mass, they were advertising their cream they have made. And then people would know that they have learned new skills and were coming to their small shops and buying this product they have produced by themselves.
So despite the incredibly difficult situation that remains out there, as you say, so many decades of conflict, the morale, the mentality seems to be fairly upbeat now.
Yeah, they are very open, they are happy. If they are getting some courses, some trainings, if they can learn some new skills, they are really hungry. But there is as well a lack of personnel who could bring them some new skills so that they can become independent. But they have a lot of ideas by themselves and they are bringing them up. So I learned with them how to make soap. It was not my idea. They were saying, as refugees, we were trained in Congo and we know how to make soap, but we cannot get natrium hydroxide, the chemical which is necessary. So I tried to bring it up from Uganda and to find a way that it is always in the market, that the different groups inside the diocese, they can come to Yei and buy it in their own way. They are not longer depending on me, and so they can generate some income. And one group then were saying, we do need a grinding meal. If you can give us a loan, we will pay you back. So they have started with that. They have already paid half of this machine back. And now they are saving a little bit this money. They want to buy a pair of oxen and a plow. And we are thinking in opening a community in Yei Diocese. So if our sisters will arrive there, so they can pay back and so we can help and assist some other groups.
This sounds like an incredibly good news story about a situation that we normally only hear of in terms of the terrible suffering of people there. Is it an isolated good news story, or is this being repeated all around the area that you were in?
For me, it is repeated. And in Ombasi, it's near to the border of Congo. In this parish, a woman group said, Petra, can you help us? We want to build our own bakery, but we don't have the money for iron sheet and some nails. But the rest we can do by ourselves. So I assisted only with these few things, and they did their own bakery. They have now a room, a house where they can meet. Even Sundays after Mass, they go there and they prepare their bread there. They have made a small garden inside this compound, and they're growing some vegetables. And it's a space as well. Sometimes violence in the families are there, so they have a place where they can meet each other, they can share their life stories. And even these women, most of them are illiterate. And they were saying, but if you are calling for a workshop for the catechists, we will come, we will join them. And I said, yes, it's very important that you are coming and you can bring this good news to the people in the market. No? While you are selling your bread, your soap, please tell what you have learned in these workshops. No? And they were participating. Many women are really haven't had the possibility to go to school. So I was training with the LUMCO methodology, no? This catechist. The LUMCO methodology is to bring up small Christian communities. It's a methodology which works a lot with pictures, which gives questions. So they discover the answers by themselves, no?
Is there a very high level of illiteracy around that area?
In whole South Sudan, I don't know, about 89%. And with women, it's even higher. No? Only 25% of children have the possibility to go to primary schools. So JRS was bringing up some schools and we were accompanying 19 primary schools and 6 secondary schools, giving training for the teachers and helping to get books and chemical materials for chemistry and so on. But the curriculum for the secondary school is not yet really elaborated in South Sudan. So we have to send every year still the children to Uganda or to Congo or some areas which are close to the border to Kenya. They are sending their children there to sit for the secondary examination. So it's really still a very challenging area and it's making a lot of costs, ne? And poor people don't have it. So sometimes financial help is even needed, even for girls, that they can get education.
The role of the church there is crucial, isn't it, in trying to support these struggling communities?
Yes, yes, it is. There is a large Anglican church and other Protestant churches and the Catholic church, which is supporting the education area and the pastoral area and doing also peace workshops to help for reconciliation and trauma healing.
My thanks there to Sister Petra Bigge, who spent 3 years working with Jesuit Refugee Service in the Sudanese city of Yei.